The word of the Lord from Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 and verse 10. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he said he would do to them, and he did not do it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The text for our gospel proclamation comes from the Old Testament prophecy of Jonah that I just finished reading for you, and serves as the basis of our theme for this third Sunday after the Epiphany. I'm not gonna tell you again. Oh, how many times have we heard that phrase from our parents or people in authority over us, or even from our own lips? No doubt it was said with a sense of finality and the impending reality of consequences for having to say it again. Today, Jonah has already missed God's first call, willfully disobeying for sure, as God was clearly saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come before me." Why? Nineveh is a symbol of the overwhelming, ruthless power of the empire, hated by all the subjects in the empire. Years ago, VeggieTales, a Christian cartoon program where vegetables are portrayed as characters in the Bible, did a brilliant job of portraying this hated throughout the empire. And they referred to them as the fish slappers. Now, a child can understand how humiliating being slapped in the face with a stinking fish would be. So they use this euphemism to make that very point. The only thing my son, Micah, could not understand as a little boy was how they walked and slapped people with fish without any hands or feet. What was clearly not lost on Micah was the fact that Nineveh was bad. And nobody disagreed on that point. In fact, they were so bad, even a little boy like Micah knew they deserved nothing for all their bad behavior. Jonah felt like most everyone did. Nineveh deserves nothing. Not an opportunity to hear his word, no chance to change the way they think and act. Simply put, Nineveh should be destroyed. Also, Jonah knew God was forgiving, loving, and abounding in love. So he ignored God, so Nineveh would be destroyed, and Jonah is a prophet and a faithful man of God. He wanted to withhold forgiveness from them based on his standard of right and wrong, not God's standard of right and wrong. Pastor Frank Winter, one of Marcy and I's favorite pastors, once preached a sermon on getting what we deserve, and it has never left me for having heard it. He alluded to how we always think we don't get what we deserve. We don't get paid what we're worth. We don't get appreciation for what we do. We don't get the opportunities we should get. All the while, you're listening, thinking that I guess we just need to accept that, and not everything works out in life, and make do with what God gives you, right? But then Pastor Winter lowers the boom in his sermon, saying, "We all think and say that we don't get what we deserve. Well, I say, we better be thankful we don't get what we deserve." Jonah doesn't understand this at all. because he actually thinks he's better than he deserves and thinks the Ninevites deserve far worse than anyone deserves. The truth is, everyone should be thankful that God does not give us what we truly deserve. So Jonah takes his unscheduled cruise, an unanticipated dip in the sea, and becomes fish food for thought. 3 days and three nights in the belly of a sperm whale can really change your attitude. And for Jonah, it certainly did. Look, I know it says fish, but there's no known fish large enough to swallow a human whole. But sperm whales, we know for a fact, can swallow squids as large as 400 pounds whole. And likely the ancient Hebrews may not have had a quantifiable distinctions between whales and whale sharks. So God calls Jonah again for the final time. This time the call is different. The evil is gone. Like Jesus in his 3 days in the tomb, Jonah's 3 days anticipates the Messiah's death and resurrection, which atones for the sins of the world, including Nineveh. Jonah isn't true because we can prove it scientifically possible with sperm whales and tales told on the high seas. It's true because Jesus said it was, and that is more than enough for us in the church today. But Jesus said it was for another reason as well. Jesus focused on this prophet for something much bigger than the miracle of being swallowed and vomited by a great fish. Jesus thought it to let us know the three times we were saved as well. The first was his death on the cross that forgave everyone's sins for all time. The second was every time we hear the words of forgiveness from a brother or sister in Christ. Once again, our sin is forgiven, and we have won a brother or sister by forgiving them. And finally, the day Jesus comes to take us home to the new heavens and the new earth, where there will be no more suffering, no more pain, and no more death. Three times we are saved, reminding us of the 3 days Jonah spent in the belly of the fish, and more importantly, the 3 days Jesus spent in the tomb. So now, in our lesson for today, was Jonah's opportunity to proclaim forgiveness, for evil had been forgiven. Was it Jonah's sacrifice? Penultimately, no. Was it God's sacrifice in Jesus? Ultimately, yes. But how often in life do we do what we choose to do? We define God and his mercy by our standards. We pick who really deserves his mercy and grace. Sometimes, by social means, church becomes a source of friendships at a party circle. Friends become so steadfast, they can even exclude those that are not in on the jokes, or unintentionally give a cold shoulder to those that are new to the group. Sometimes, by societal means, sadly, church is the most segregated hour on Sunday at the worship hour in America. It's not necessarily racism. More often it is ethnic. People coalesce by language, backgrounds they're acquainted with, and cultural familiarity. It's my experience starting a Spanish-speaking ministry in Middleburg that you even had to be careful not to mix Argentinians, Mexicans, and Guatemalans, especially during the World Cup. No sin in it, but divisions are organic and can lead to barriers to the gospel if we let it. And if we refuse to break down the barriers to mission, not because our neighbors are the most evil in the empire, but just because we don't feel comfortable with them, we may miss out on a chance to truly gain a brother or sister in Christ to go home to the new heavens and the new earth with us. Then we, like Jonah, potentially become the unintentionally unforgiving ones who risk no longer having the forgiveness of God. But the pure proclamation of God's word is for us also. And God, when he speaks to us, rarely needs to speak twice. The power of God's word, and the Ninevites knew this better than anyone, inspires a change of heart that is beyond shocking in its ability to make us what God wants us to be. Choose your way or God's way. Either way, he simply won't have to tell you again to accomplish his will. He changes us. He forgives us again and again and again and again and again. Now, may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus always. Amen.